The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Hello again. We pride ourselves in the series on the fact that the music is very varied indeed. And so, goodness knows, are the contestants. I refer, need I say, to Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton competing against John Amis and Frank Muir. Ian Wallace, the first question, as always, goes to you. Heavy seas pounding against a rocky headland on which sit, if our ears are to be believed, an orchestra starring four French horn players. Where does the scene take place?
It sounds like you know, part of the soundtrack of something like Mutiny on the Bounty. Yeah.
Yes, curiously so, actually, in view of the identity of the composer.
I mean, you can
composer.
Almost... you're almost waiting for somebody to go... Sailing! Yeah.
Yes.
Shot my boat.
Well, I can't give you the mark. It's Tintagel by Sir Arnold Bax, who died in 1953. It's from his score, Tintagel. Dennis, let's see if you can pick up the first mark in the show. Here's a voice that you haven't heard for, I should think, 20 years or more. Very recognisable, though, I think. Who is she?
I feel the beat of distant drums. I want the cake of love and not the crumbs. A primitive urge is urging me. I want to be kissed, but savagely. I hear the call of the wild.
I think John's going to pick up the first mark in this.
You'll kick yourself when I tell you the name.
Well, she's American.
Yes.
I would say she's a comedian.
That's right.
I really don't know who that is.
Cass Daly.
Oh, yeah.
Cass Daly. I knew you'd kick yourself and you weren't doing. Never mind. Over to John Amis. John, almost a century separates the birth dates of the poet and the composer concerned in this. Can you name either of them, composer or lyric writer?
Tis done. But yesterday a king, and armed with kings to strive, and now thou art a nameless thing, so abject, yet alive. Is this the man of thousand thrones who strewed our earth with hostile bones? And can he thus survive?
Fun way to spend an evening, I always think.
Frank, exactly. If you'd like to give me the accompaniment, I'll do it in the same style. So you start. Byron is the poet and the composer. He's Arnold Schoenberg.
Yes, for a mark.
Oh, to Napoleon.
That's right. Yes. Byron, Schoenberg, you're right. Ode to Napoleon Bonaparte. Yes. Mark, the first mark of the evening. Frank Muir, a listener has written asking me to give you a very easy starting question in order, she says, to give you confidence early on.
Whoever you are, madam, may grateful.
Right. Well, then, I won't ask you to name the choir, only to name the singer who follows the choir.
Ain't he the lucky one? Ain't he got it all? Ain't he the lucky one? Oh, ain't he? Oh, ain't he?
Ain't I got the song of the robin? Ain't I got a roof in the sky?
etc.
I can't help feeling for the choir people, you know, who went to college and studied music and got their degree.
Yeah. All right.
And they were sitting there singing, "Ain't he the lucky one?" The ensuing person was Al Jolson.
Al Jolson,
unmistakably.
Yes. A mark to you. And on to the next round, which consists of some miscellaneous musical questions. Ian, listen carefully to this. What had Jerome Kern's Annie Get Your Gun in common with Liardoff's The Firebird?
Yes. There is something wrong with this. You said Jerome Kern's
Annie Get Your Gun. Liardoff's The Firebird.
It's like Beethoven's Song of the Flea. Except that he wrote one. You let me get a rise out of me. He pointed his finger at me accusedly. No, I don't think Jerome Kern wrote an Annie Get Your Gun.
Well, there's a bit more to it than that.
If there's a bit more to it...
I think Dennis can give you a bit more, I think, can't he?
Well, Jerome Kern was down to write Get Your Gun for Rodgers and Hammerstein, but he died.
That's right.
And Irving Berlin took over.
Yes.
So Liardoff was down to write The Firebird.
Well, yes, but didn't do it. Neither of the pieces was composed by the person named. Kern died. Irving Berlin took over composing Annie. Liardoff never got around to starting Firebird, so Diaghilev gave the commission to his second choice, Stravinsky. Yes. Dennis, it's your turn. What can you tell me about an instrument known as the flat trumpet?
Can I tell you? Well, it's nothing to laugh at. Nothing to laugh at. It occupies a very proud place in the regimental mess of the Pioneer Corps. Because Pioneer Corps, you remember, used to build roads. And after they built one of their proudest roads during the war, they marched, the regimental band marched down it to be the first ones, followed by a steamroller. And to this day, that flat trumpet is in the regimental mess.
Yes. I thought you might think it was caught in a pub door, but I prefer your version for a mark. Flat trumpets, F-L-A-T-T, flat trumpets were ceremonial valveless trumpets, somewhat like our bugles, used in Purcell's Day on state and church occasions. A mark to you, Dennis, anyway. John Amos, who was Bubbles Silverman? Or don't you care to admit? Bubbles Silverman. I don't think you know. You
think I know?
I don't think you know.
You don't think I know? Well, why did you ask me?
Because I thought you did then. Now I think you don't.
Anything to do with the Bath Festival?
I am going to have to tell you.
Is he a double bass player?
No, it's a she, anyway. Now, Bubbles Silverman was the name used in her radio commercial days by the lady who is now much better known as Beverly Sills, the coloratura soprano. She was Bubbles Silverman. So people used to say, "Get Bubbles Silverman, we want to do a commercial for so-and-so," and she was singing those days. Well, interesting, isn't it?
You learn something new every day.
Well, there you are.
That's
yours for today. Next is for Frank. Frank, what would a typical French suite consist of?
Yes. How do you spell suite?
Ah, S-U-I-T-E.
Ah, well, that's different.
Oh, that's different.
That's a couple of fauteuils and a chaise longue.
And a hurly-burly in the end.
Yeah. And I would like to give you a mark for that. John, what sort of things would you find in a French suite?
Oh, I think you might find
that. Ask him.
You didn't know
on.
Bubbles.
Go on.
Allemande, yes. Sarabande, Couvante, Gigue,
yes, yeah,
maybe a Passepied.
That's right, typical Dolphin. French suite. Yeah.
French suite, Bumble.
On to the next round. Jimmy Durante used to call his piano the old 88. Ravitson Landau, I suppose, spoke of the old 176. Anyway, it's time for my two piano medleys. Ian and Dennis, working together with pens, ink and paper, try to write down the titles of these six brief snatches of melody. Right. Ian, did you get the first one?
I thought you played eight. Seven of which I didn't know.
You didn't know the first one, did you?
Tango.
Tango is the name, actually. Yes. Tango by... Tango by... Starts with A.
You've got
Al, yes. What's his second name?
Not Bowley.
No, Beanith. Al Beanith.
Al Beanith.
That's right. Tango is the title, so it must get you half a mark. The second one I don't think you got.
No.
Did you, Dennis?
No.
It comes from Anna. I played...
Louisiana.
That one. Anna, or sometimes known as El Bayon. Then came something you might have known.
Spanish thing it was.
Yes, but the word, the name... Funnily enough, you nearly got it. España. By Chabrier. You didn't get that one. Then you both must have got the
Alice
next one.
Alice Blue Gown.
That's right, yes.
Shine Through My Dreams.
Yes.
I always think of that as Shine Through My Dreams and Once Again.
And the very last one of all.
If I Had My Way.
Yes, If I Had My Way. You got 4 out of 6, half a mark each. That's 2 marks out of 3. Good.
I'm glad you nipped in quick with that last one, because I got written down. It's a great big shame.
That would have been wrong. A similar medley now for John and for 3 people. For John, Frank, and the lady he's signalling to in the front row to help him.
Wife.
Who will kindly not... actually, yes. Who will kindly not mouth them. John and Frank working together on this medley. Right.
Your pen work?
Well, no. You can always use that sheet of paper again, Frank. It's nice to know you've got one for next week.
What weak reeds. What faces of clay the audience have.
Yes.
Well, now, they're mouthing the answers all the previous rounds. They were...
Did either of you get the first one? You must have done.
Trumpeter, what are you saying?
Thank you, after all that fuss. Yes.
That's all I've got.
Then came, John, the next one.
No, I haven't got it.
No, part of the A major polonaise. Dum da dum da 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 dum ba dum. The military polonaise. Then came, and neither of you noticed this, I think.
What was that one?
A little bit from...
Oh, yes,
the Lawrence of Arabia. Theme from the Lawrence of Arabia. Didn't get that either.
Pop music.
Then came some opera.
Yes. Sand,
what was that?
I didn't get that one.
Soldiers' Chorus from Faust.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got that Faust.
Ah, right.
But I thought there was number 5.
I'll give you that one. Then came an old popular song.
Not popular enough.
That one.
Probably it's the way it was played.
Probably was. Probably was, yes.
Yes. What was it alleged to be?
You can go off people for a moment. Go off people. It was Lost in a Fog, it was called. An old song called Lost in a Fog. Like a ship at sea, I'm just lost in a fog. Wasn't it, Dennis? Yes. You recognise that? Yeah. See, Dennis likes my playing, Frank. Dennis likes my playing.
Do you like his singing?
I won't answer that. It will incriminate me. And the last one.
The voice doesn't help either.
Don't sing it, Dennis, like
I wish I loved the human race.
Yeah, no. It Always Starts to Rain was the song. It Always Starts to Rain. 2 half marks, total 1.
Very interesting. Enjoyed that.
Well, it's time for a little food now. Fruit, vegetables, and in one case a rather delicious sauce. Or as we say where I come from, tarted up gravy. So, Ian Wallace, an easy one for you to start with. What is the reference to fruit in this song?
When will you pay me, says the bell of old?
that's dear Owen singing about oranges and lemons.
That's right, and that makes up for Frank's very easy question in the first round. You get a mark, yes. Oranges and lemons. So, we move on. Dennis, early in his recording days, Nat King Cole voiced a food preference.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want...
What is it he wants?
Fram sauce.
Yes, with...
Apple... No.
Apple strudel.
I was so caught up with the fact that's his trio, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. A very early record. You've got a mark for Frim Fram Sauce. Let's check the complete answer with Nat Cole's record.
I want the Frim Fram Sauce with the awesome thing with Shafafa on the side.
I thought you'd remember Shafafa on
Shafafa,
the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark to you, Larry. John, what has this to do with eating?
Es grünet ein Nussbaum vor dem Haus. Duftig, duftig breitet er blättrig die Blätter aus.
What's that got to do with food? It's sung by Janet Baker.
She's a coloratura. Yeah.
Also, the song is called
The Trout.
No, it was not the trout. It was the nut tree.
The nut tree.
Der Nussbaum. The walnut tree grows in front of our house. Der Nussbaum. But in my dance band playing days, there used to be a bass player called Joe Nussbaum. Yeah. And I can never hear this song without thinking that Joe Nussbaum grows in front of our house. It's a translation of Der Nussbaum. A mark to you. Frank, back to the voice of Nat Cole. Which fruit is mentioned in the title here?
Flash, bang, alakazam. I gotta look at you. One look and I yell timber. Watch out for flying glass. Cause the ceiling fell in, the bottom fell out. I went into a spin, I started to shout. I've been hit.
This is it, this is it, I T hit.
He mentioned frying glass. But I think the answer is it goes on to mention orange-coloured sky.
That's right, an orange out of an orange-coloured sky. That's your mark. And on to the next round. This round concerns notes and numbers. When we learnt the piano as children, we were told that A-C-E-G, the notes on the lines of the bass stave, stand for A Cow Eats Grass, A-C-E-G. It's a bit out of date now for today's children, who may not know what a cow is or ever see any grass. So I'm going to ask Dennis Norden in a moment to come up with an alternative, A-C-E-G.
A-C-E-G.
And similarly, Frank Muir, an alternative for the lines on the treble stave, E-G-B-D-F.
Hang on.
E-G-B-D-F. First, though, a question for Ian. It's a test of observation, Ian. When a semibreve is written on the middle line of the bass stave, does the tail go up or down?
I think that's a trick question. Because I think it's rather like a guinea pig. It hasn't got a tail.
It's absolutely true, yes. A semibreve, it's just an oller, isn't it?
Yes,
it's
yes.
A hollow thing. It doesn't have a tail
just
at all.
It's just an O.
So you get your mark. Dennis, have you thought, please, of a new mnemonic for A Cow Eats Grass, A-C-E-G?
Yeah, I've got... Well, the first thing that came into mind was Auntie Clara Entertains Gentlemen.
Well, naturally, that would be the first thing.
But then... Something musical. I can't even read it then. Oh, yes. Aberystwyth Choirs Eschew Guitars. And then, I don't know where it swam up from, but if you can remember a film called Dangerous Moonlight. Do you remember that
film?
Yes,
indeed.
Well, Adinsell's Concerto evokes Griegs.
Oh, that's rather super. That's rather special, that is. Yes, evokes Griegs. Yes, lovely. In other words,
the Warsaw Concerto.
The Warsaw Concerto and the Greek Piano Concerto, yes. Oh, lovely. Oh, mark to you, yes. John Amos, a sort of interim question while Frank is still thinking. Can you explain, John, Haydn's Opus Nought?
Well, it might be something that's discovered
That's right.
after all the rest have been numbered.
Yes, that's the answer for a mark, really. Haydn's string quartet in E-flat major was found to be chronologically earlier than the then-existing Opus 1 when the manuscript was discovered. So that's how it had to be Opus 0. There's nothing else really to call it, or Opus a half. There is, incidentally, a Don Gillis symphony, isn't there, called Symphony No. 5 and a Half?
There's also a Bruckner symphony, which is known as No. 0.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. A mark to you. Frank. A new mnemonic, please, instead of every good boy deserves favour. Or some people learn every good boy deserves fish.
EGBDF. Immediately my mind flew to Ecclesiasticus, Genesis, Book of Numbers, Deuteronomy and Ephesians. I thought that... I thought that other people might not be able to remember those quite in my manner. So I thought of elasticated ginger beers disguised ferrets.
and I can't wait to teach that to my children.
And erotic gumboots delight fetishes.
Wow.
I thought I'd bracket everybody. Yeah.
Music teachers of the world, you now have a new mnemonic for EGBDF to teach the teach to your little ones. And we have a little singing to round off our show. All the songs concern babies, popsies, lasses, maidens, or as I think Ian might say, the ladies, God bless them. Dennis.
I don't know what I did to deserve that.
I somehow felt you might say that, but if not, I'll say it. The ladies, God bless them. Dennis, you first. The chorus, please, after we've given you a good start from Eddie Cantor with the verse.
Who's that coming down the street? Who's that looking so pretty? Who's that coming down to meet me here? Who's that? You know who I mean. Sweetest who you've ever seen. I could tell her miles away from here.
Yes, sir, that's my...
Where we... All right.
I know. Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe.
Yes.
You don't want any more of this.
I don't think so. No. 2 marks to you. John, your turn. Mr. Arne's delicate girl who lives at the bottom of the hill.
With a delicate air, a man couldn't uncall her. Blessed with a delicate
air. One mark. One mark for the singing, another mark for sounding like Jerry Colonna.
Molly was a lass with a delicatessen.
Damn it, that's just the gag I was going to make.
Now you've spoiled it all. Oh, well, he hasn't spoiled it, he's just appropriated it. It's a little different. 2 marks to you, eventually. Frank, how about the maiden you met at Trinity Church? Can you manage that?
She told me her age was 25, cash in the bank, she said she plenty. I, like a fool, believed it all. I was an M.U.G. A Trinity Church, I met me doom. And now I live in a top back room. Up to the eyes in debt for renty, that's what she's done for me.
Ian, I think a mark or two would be well spent in hearing you sing about a gentle maiden in E-flat, I think.
Rather than A-flat.
There's one that is pure as an angel and fair as the flowers of May. They call her the gentle maiden. Takes her way. Her eyes have the glance of sunlight as it brightens the blue sea wave. And more than the deep sea treasure. The love of her heart I crave.
And that's the final cadence for this show. A victory I see by no marks for nobody because it's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Schreier.